Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Whether you're watching for the first time or you're simply catching up on a message that you missed, we're so glad that you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you'll experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word Give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, we're starting a new series today. The series will last and take us through May. It's called Transforming Community. Now, why did I go here? Some people would say to me, well, why are you talking about community? We can't even do community. The reason why we're talking about community right now, and specifically transforming community, is that I need to prepare us. Because I believe in this moment that we find ourselves in a stay-home mandate, that God, not being surprised by it, may actually be saying something to us. The question is, are we listening to him? And how weak we have been with community as a church and as a society. We've been driven by other things that have put that on the back burner. This has brought this full circle that we understand what community really is and how important it is to us. Mark my word, when the stay-at-home mandate is finished, many of us are struggling financially and in many other ways. There will be a temptation for you and me to immediately go full blast into doing all the things that we feel like we need to do. And it will be those moments that all the other things that we know that God taught us in this moment could easily escape us. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. It's critical that we understand this. Now, what I know to be true is this. All of us were created for intimacy. I do not care who you are. I don't care about your personality. Because some people will say, well, I'm an introvert. Or I'm somebody that doesn't, I really don't need people. We all were created for community. It just looks different in how often or how frequent. But we all were created for intimacy. We were first created for intimacy with God. And then we were created for intimacy with one another. And as I already said, we have not done a really good job with this. And God is saying to us today, we need to re-engage at levels that we haven't done before. We know from Scripture that it all started in Genesis 3, and that the brokenness of Adam and Eve not only broke the community between God and man, but began to break the community between one another. You go to Genesis 4, and we have the brothers, Cain and Abel, fighting it out. And that fight and that struggle has been occurring ever since that one moment. And unfortunately, what we have done as a society is that we haven't understood that we need community. We have not understood that we need one another. And what we have subtly done is we have substituted intimacy with other things that will never deliver. We have substituted the act of sex itself and saying, there's my intimacy. And it is an intimate act, but intimacy is way bigger than that one act. And more people are engaged with that intimacy with one another. We have looked to our jobs and our titles and our positions and all those things to fill this thing inside of us that God created for one another. And we've placed other things in that category. And as you already know, they will never, ever deliver. I am concerned today, and I will be addressing this later, that we have also, we basically use this thing called social media and devices. And we've used that in place of intimacy and community, and even more so in our stay-at-home mandate. And we will have struggles. My question to you today is this. Are you struggling with addiction to your device? Some questions to ask yourself. Can you actually go to the bathroom without it? Can you go more than 20 minutes without looking at a device? When it dings and when it rings, do you immediately feel like a slave and you have to respond to it? Can you have a conversation more than 15 minutes without stopping and interrupting that conversation with looking at your device? I am deeply concerned what the enemy will use and how this will affect what community is all about. There's nothing wrong with the device. It's what we do with it that the enemy will tempt us. We'll address that in weeks to come. And so when we look at today, we need to realize that God is desiring for us to create new levels of trust. I believe transforming communities do exactly that. The church has been dysfunctional in this in many ways. What do I mean by that? I've been in church a long time. We know the right verbiage. And the verbiage is, we want to have relationship. We want to engage one another. Let's just be honest and frank today. All right? A lot of times people go to large churches, not because they think it's better, because they don't want anybody to talk to them. They can come in and out and be never seen. That is not a biblical concept at all. Even in the small churches, we say we want to have relationships, but you know in the small churches that we have our in-group and our out-group. And when you walk in, you know you're not in the in-group. It's kind of like we have this craziness where we say, I want relationship with you. I want to be in a small group with you. I want you to know my life, and I want you to know my life. And as we're doing this and inviting people into our lives, we do this. Stay away. We're one hand, we're inviting you in. And on the other hand, we're saying, I don't want you to get too close. And all of us have our different layers of what community looks like. You and I need to begin to go to the throne room of God and figure out what are those barriers that have enabled me to keep people at distance, the hurts and the pains and all the rest. And in this series, I didn't read it, but we are going to be taking as our principle from Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. And when I look at this, here's what I want you to realize. I'm not saying, and I'm not idolizing the early church. I'm not saying that the early church was perfect. I'm not saying that the early church had community down. I'm not saying that they somehow have a corner on God. No, but there are principles that they practiced that enabled them to change the world that you and I need to practice today. And we will look at those. Next week, we'll look at this whole issue of understanding that in this, that we will grow together when we grow in discipleship. We will grow together when we grow in fellowship. And we will grow together when we do mission together. That's the things that we're going to be looking at over the next weeks. So I'm going to ask you today, if in fact you have the ability to look at your notes, if you're electronically able to pull those up. My first point today in transforming and introducing this whole subject matter is this. Authentic community strengthens us. Authentic community strengthens us. Now, I know I can't hear you, but I want you to do this with me. Would you repeat after me? Say, strengthen us, Lord. Come on out there. Strengthen us, Lord. Thank you for doing that. It's our prayer. What we realize in this is we see clearly that in these verses that I read in chapter 4, I love this portion of scripture because it's all about community and cool things that God was doing. Well, let me back up and show you how they were strengthened and how they were what they were doing. It says in verse 31 that it describes that they were praying by themselves. No, they were praying together. I must confess to you that I pray a whole lot better when I'm praying together with other people. The early church was praying together. They were praying for miracles together. They were encouraged together. They were filled with the Holy Spirit together. You see how we read scripture? We would see that. This is how you know whether you read scripture from an individualistic point of view or whether you read scripture from a more community point of view. Any of us read Acts 4 and we read they were filled with the Holy Spirit and we don't even see the they. And we apply it to me. And that's okay, but we got to never omit that. Corporately, together, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Individually, but corporately. And from that, they were strengthened and encouraged. It says in this scripture, they preached the word of God boldly. They, not one individual. I think that's been what service we've done today. We think that it is only the person on the platform that has to bring God's word. It's not true. It says that they preached together. They were strengthened because they did life together. They were able to handle opposition to the gospel. And we see in this passage, they had opposition like nobody's business. And Jesus, throughout, sent them out together. Never sending people out by themselves. It was always together. Where did they get their strength from? They got their strength from the Holy Spirit, number one. Secondly, they got their strength from one another. It's the beauty of what marriage is. It's the beauty of what family is. It's the beauty of what the church is. Because we're not all at the same time going to be excited. We're not all at the same time going to be doing well. And in those moments where somebody is down, Scripture says this, those who are doing well can come alongside them and strengthen them. The one who is doing well, we can celebrate with them. That's the beauty of the body. The fact that Scripture says the body infers that you and I were created to do community together. And what you need to understand today is that the early church totally got it because they were under the pressure of the moment. And we are not under that same pressure in the United States or even in the world with the stay-at-home mandate. But it's a wake-up call of Jesus' own words in Matthew 24 when he starts to give us the signs of the last days. That it will be the church's greatest hour that we come together and strengthen one another in those days. We are, mark my word, we are much better together than by ourselves. And what we can do together is greater than what we can do by ourselves. I believe that when the church was institutionalized, that was the moment that it became easy. And in the United States, we've had it easy, comparatively speaking, to the churches around the world. And as a result, we have looked at the world and the Lord and the Scriptures through an individualistic perspective. And we've been very, very successful in what we have done throughout the years. But I'm believing that God's calling us to a community perspective. Now, let me just speak to us as a church. Here I am 6 months in as your pastor. 6 months. We're a multi-ethnic community. It's an assumed thing. Now, here's the thing. This is the first time in 6 months that I've even talked about multi-ethnic. Haven't said a word about it. I believe in community that now I need to make that known. We believe that it's not just community with people who look like us, smell like us, talk like us, have the same likes as us, that we are much greater as a community when we have all ethnicities and all different perspectives coming together under Jesus Christ. We know scripturally, some of you know, Revelation 7:9 says that on that day, every tribe, language, and people group will be there. I have believed with all of my heart that the cross of Jesus is so powerful that we can do it this side of heaven. That the gospel is so powerful. Is it messy? You bet it's messy. And I could give you thousands of stories, but it is worth it. When I have made this declaration throughout this country to many homogeneous groups, which mainly means those who worship with people who look and act like them, their response has always been to me, well, we want everybody to know Jesus and we care for everybody. My response back to them is this, how's that going for you? Because what I know to be true in a community that is strengthened is you've got to be intentional. That's the word. We all have a propensity to go towards people that look like us and act like us. Now, what does a multi-ethnic community look like? This may step on a few toes, even here at KCC. But here's what I want you to understand. A multi-ethnic community is not just those in leadership. It's not just those on the stage. And no, not just those sitting in a congregation. A true, authentic community that's multi-ethnic means when the last amen is stated and people go out into their life, that they are actually in relationship together. They are in relationship together. They don't just worship together. They are authentically friends together. That's when we have the community that I believe is biblical. Are we there yet? No. But we are committed to go there. And that's one of the reasons why your team, your leadership, and myself connected together. We are committed to that. And here we find ourselves in the middle of this crisis, in the middle of trying to understand what community is. We're going to have to be intentional with this like nobody's business. Let me explain it this way for my own family. My children were raised in Baku, Azerbaijan. They went to an international school. They were the only Americans in their school. They went to school with kids from Russia, Brazil, Ethiopia, Finland, China, the Philippines, etc., etc. The only common denominator was English. My kids grew up knowing that the world was a beautiful thing with all different kinds of people. We walk back into our own culture where we are divided like I've never seen in levels. So why is this so important today? We are more divided now as a nation than we've ever been. It's the church's finest hour, just like it was in the book of Acts, where in that moment they stood together in such a powerful way that it actually changed the world. Maybe I have the audacity, maybe KCC has the audacity to believe that if we actually followed Scripture, created a transforming community that actually was multi-ethnic, because we know it's not natural, and it shows the power of the cross and the gospel, that people will begin to look at that and say, what's up with that? I believe that's the way the Holy Spirit works. I believe that together we can know Him, and together we can make Him known, not by ourselves. And when we become a community that strengthens one another, we will grow in spiritual maturity, emotional maturity, physical wellness, and relational maturity. My key point is simple, friends. I am stronger and more mature when I live in a community that is authentic and biblical. Let me give you the second thought this morning, and that is this: authentic community cares for one another. Authentic community cares for one another. Would you repeat after me in your homes? Say, let's care for one another in Jesus' name. I can hear you. Say it again. Let's care for one another in Jesus' name. What happens here is pretty cool. I don't know if you catch it. It's a process. What'd they do? They prayed together. And after they prayed together, verse 32, then, I love this verse 32, they were one mind and they were one heart. We can't become one mind and one heart without prayer. It's just not possible. We have too many opinions. We're too self-centered. We're too stubborn. Name the list. But when we code together to pray, we are transformed. And once we are transformed, then we are one mind and one purpose. And what followed that was then they started to care for one another. They just didn't wake up and say, oh, let's care for one another. They prayed, God transformed them, and then they started caring for one another. It says specifically, they shared their possessions. There was none among them without that had need. And some of those who were well off actually sold some of their stuff to give to the church, the apostles, so they could distribute to the people. That's some serious stuff we see happening there. But when they did this, when they cared for one another, the world looked on and said, what's up with this? This has never happened in the history of the world. It was the fit of the fittest. It was the strong that would always win. And now we have this whole transformation happening because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see that happening. So you see, selfishness is the number one enemy, isn't it? To care for one another in community. And it's so subtle in the church. Selfishness obviously is all about me. And it means that I must feed myself. But I've been in the church a long time, and I see that we have used the church for our own advantage, and it begins to be selfish. I even have friends that are ahead of me and who have mentored me and said, you need to have relationships and care for people. Don't use people for your own advantage in Jesus' name. What I mean by that is this: you'll know whether you're having relationships and caring for one another if that, in fact, after the job is finished, or there's been a transition in your life, you still remain friends with them. But if all your relationships die at the door of whatever it is you do, you've only used those people in your life to your own advantage or for the goals in which you had. And for a lot of us like myself, that is a serious temptation. And I don't believe that it's biblical. What's the antidote to this? The antidote is John the Baptist's prayer in John 3:3. May I become less, that he becomes more. And you and I need to understand that authentic community that helps one another understands this. This is so hard for me. And that is the first thing, is that the journey is more important than the destination. The journey is more important than the destination. Yes, we need to know where we're going, but we aren't guaranteed we'll ever get there. So let's enjoy the journey. Don't lose the moment in which you have right here and right now. What do I mean by that? All of us have a destination, and the destination is a good destination. Let's get out of the stay-home mandate. I could hear you laughing if you were here. Let's get out of the stay-home mandate. Now, there's nothing wrong with that destination or that plan. But what you need to understand is simply this. We don't have any guarantee that what tomorrow holds. So let's enjoy the moment that we have right now in this moment. And when we do this journey, number two, this journey is never meant for isolation and by ourselves. We were never meant to do it by ourselves in isolation. We see that throughout Acts 4. We do it together that we can care for one another. And the third thing I'd say to you about this journey of caring for one another is more important who I am than what I do. It's more important about who I am than what I do. In other words, let me try to emphasize it this way. My greatest gift to give you as the pastor of this church is not being the pastor. My greatest gift to the world is not being a father. My greatest gift to the world is not being a good husband. My greatest gift to the world is not giving any gifts that I have. The greatest gift that I have to give to the world today is my own intimacy with Jesus. Who I am is more important than what I do. Now, many of you already know this, but how difficult is it for us to practice these things? Understand today, if we're going to have an authentic community that cares for one another, this is how it's going to happen. How can we do this practically? Some of you have been involved with KCC and you haven't been involved with a small group. I would say to you today, you need to email us. You need to call us. And Pastor Curtis and his team, we would immediately get you involved with a virtual small group. You need to decide practically right now if I'm not engaged. And if you're in a small group and you guys haven't been meeting virtually, that needs to happen as of yesterday. We need one another to care for each other. Not only as it relates to the small groups in our church, but as we get out of our stay-home mandate, what about the neighborhoods in which God has called us into? The places in which you live, that we can care not only for one another, but for our community around us. I remember when I was at Taylor University and we went out one day, I asked this friend of mine to go out and we went out to share Jesus in a neighborhood near the university. And after sharing from door to door, we went to this lady's house, and as we knocked on the door, we went in and shared Jesus with her, and she started sharing about her grandkids for the next 30 minutes and all the photos and all of that. It was a really good experience, but here was the point that I walked away with stunned. She said, I've lived here for 30 years, and the university right over there, it's the first time anybody's ever come to my door. God help us. And even when my wife and I and my family lived in Shelby Township, when we were pastoring at Stony Creek, we had a neighbor who had an autistic son who was probably 7 or 8 years old. And he would come over to our house just next door, and it was like clockwork. Every night, right when we were eating dinner, he'd put his nose right on our screen door. My wife would go over and give him some food, and he knew he had open access to our house. I would come home from, this is no lie, I'd come home from work, and there was Mark sleeping on my recliner. Never knew where he was. I was always looking around the house. Where's Mark at? What I realized is this. When we moved to Detroit to start Mosaic, it was in that moment that his mother said to Melanie and I that how powerful a message it was that we cared for their son simply by being there for him and loving him. Many of you at KCC do this. This is how we create community that cares for one another. We care for each other. Let's remind ourselves to commit to become more like Jesus. Let's decide each day how we can encourage, and let's make a plan and do it. The key point in my second point here is this. The world will be changed one life at a time, and that begins in our small communities, in our small groups at our church, and in the places in which we live. Let me illustrate this key point this way. My best friend's name is Dwight. He's 9 years older than me. He was the youth pastor where I got saved as a youth group. And he gave to me in my first years of knowing Jesus, hours upon hours. He was single youth pastor at the time. And I want you to know that he invested in me not knowing where God would take me. And I served in a country called Azerbaijan, and Dwight had never and has never been to that country, but he has been. Because one life impacting one life, I was an extension of him to that country. And everything I have done since, from planning Mosaic to being here at KCC, I am an extension of him, because one life at a time, encouraging and helping one another makes all the difference in the world. Let's commit to this. Let me give you my final point today, and that is this. Authentic community does mission together. Authentic community does mission together. Would you repeat after me? Say, let's do his mission together in Jesus' name. Say it again, church, out there in your house. Let's do mission, his mission together in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to do an entire sermon on this, but I just want to touch on it today because it's seen clearly in chapter 4. You see that the apostles testified, again, together, boldly of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, the mission is clear. Don't mistake it. The mission is always centered around the gospel. Always has and always will be. Don't divert to the right and just do humanitarian good efforts. Don't divert to the left hoping that your good life example will make a difference. But we have to proclaim the good news of the gospel, and they did that early on as they served the community. They understood that being the hands and feet of Jesus was what it was all about. It's important that we do mission together and we share each other's talents and skills. As I've already said, we are the body. And if somebody decides they will not serve with us in mission, we will be lacking that one piece of the body. And the ones Paul says in Corinthians that seems like it's not the most valued is in reality the most valued of all. We need every single one of you. Do you hear me in your homes today? We need you because God wants to use you. And he wants to use us together as a team like we've never experienced before. We gain courage doing mission together. We learn from one another. Doing mission teaches me more about Jesus and helps me to learn more as I watch you. And thirdly, it helps me to see his word become alive to me. When I just study God's word and I just go to a prayer group and I just hunker down with my family after the mandate is over and I don't become the hands and feet of Jesus, we've missed the whole purpose of the gospel. It's not just about me. God has done everything he's done for you and me so that we could bless the world. The early church was under attack and he didn't back off. You may feel like we're being under attack right now for this unseen virus. It will be our greatest hour. The church may not look the same, but the church nonetheless will make it. And if you were here right now, you would be clapping. It will make it. We may not like everything that is before us, but we will say yes to Jesus regardless of what is before us. We see that in Acts 13. They begin early on. They begin early on Antioch sending out Paul and Barnabas to be the first missionaries. That's what it's all about. And then when Paul and Barnabas started to have a disagreement, they split. We had John Mark going with Barnabas. We had Silas going with Paul. Now we got two teams. Praise the Lord. He is saying to us today, we are going to do mission together. And when we do it, it's not going to be easy. And it will cost us something. But may this stay-at-home mandate, this epidemic, this pandemic, cause us to back up and ask the tough questions. What really matters? May we say yes and respond appropriately to it. So let's decide to do this mission together. I'm reminded of words written in an orphanage in India as I conclude this morning. And that is this. People are unreasonable and illogical and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good to people, people will accuse you of your selfish ulterior motives. Do good anyway. The good you do will be forgotten tomorrow. Trust me, it will. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and vulnerable anyway. People favor the underdog, but follow only the top dogs. Be the underdog anyway. People really need help, but may attack you if you help them. Help them anyway. And lastly, give the world your best. Give the world the best that you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world your best anyway. We are called on a mission, whether it is hard or whether it is not. The key point is doing mission together is the way of Jesus. So let's do it. Let's do it. Some of my next steps for you is simply this. Let's decide today to engage community, even though it's fearful for a lot of us, and to grow closer to Jesus. Let's decide, number two, to engage community to serve others. And lastly, let's decide to engage community to do the mission of Jesus. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? We need to pray that God would help us to understand how to do community in our own homes first. I know that domestic violence in Grand Rapids has risen 30% since the stay-at-home mandate. If we can't do it at home, we're not going to be able to do it anywhere else. And the person sitting next to you, you may be struggling with. This may be an opportunity to say, I'm going to get this right here before I do it in my church, before I do it in my community. But it's not to stay in your home. Maybe you've thought about having the excuses, well, I'm an introvert, or I'm shy, or I don't need people. Can't go there. You may not need the frequency or the amount, but you still need one another. I can't tell you today, church, what tomorrow's going to hold, but I know the one who does. And I can't promise you a rose garden, but I can promise you we will win. And I do know that we will stand stronger when we stand arm in arm. From all ethnicities and female and male, young and old, rich and poor, educated and uneducated, liberal and conservative, all in between. The kingdom of God is big enough for all of us. His table is bigger than we could ever imagine. Because we know that Jesus is the way. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? I'd like to pray for you. Can I pray a blessing over you and your household? Lord Jesus, I pray that today, as we begin to dive into more detail of transforming community, that you would help us not to pass over these moments, that you would enable us to truly be honest about where we are in our heart. And you would give us the ability to completely say yes to you, even in the tough areas. And we could follow through with creating community in our homes and then in our churches. Don't let fear and past pain get in the way. Enable us truly to be the men and women you've called us to be. We love you. We really do. I can't wait, Lord, when I can worship together in this sanctuary. The warm bodies. It's freezing in here today, but your Holy Spirit is warm. It's empty in here today, but your Spirit is what's necessary. And I say, Lord, bring us together in a community that would never forget how blessed we are because we have one another. And I'm grateful today that you can truly go in each and every home and give them what they need. Help them. Give them the courage to respond. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.